We're gonna win, Twins, we're gonna score. We're gonna win, Twins, watch that baseball soar. Crack out a home run, shout a hip hooray. Cheer for the Minnesota Twins today.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. I guess it's afternoon. This is Mike Resendez. I'm with Philip Gracia, Philip G. Philip, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. Thanks for coming over, and this should be fun.
Yeah, we're going to talk some sports. We've got a lot of things on tap today, actually. We have, what do we have, Twins, Vikings.
Lynx.
Lynx, Timberwolves, draft, NBA draft, that is. I should say that we have free agency starting tonight.
Yes, free agency is going to go crazy this next couple of days.
All right, so let's get into it. We're gonna get into the Twins because that sounder is gonna make us. We would be weird if we started off with football.
That would be weird, but that wouldn't put much difference to how people think of us, though. You know,
that's true. That is true.
So I was looking at the Twins' power maybe last week and a half, because they're averaging 1.9 home runs a game. They have 156 home runs through 82 games with a 308 pace for home runs for the season. Those are all first place team stuff. You know, that's something that nobody thought this team was going to be like at the beginning of the season.
No, they've surprised a lot of people. I'm just looking at some of the home run stats that you brought up, and we have two players over 20 or 20 or over home runs already.
Yeah, and Sano, even though he's only hitting 210, has 12 in 33 games out of 26 hits. So he struck out 57 times, which probably would be a record if he played the whole season.
Yeah, what are they, 70? What are they, 78 games into the season already?
No, 82.
Okay, so we're over halfway there, and like I said, Sano's played in less than half of those games and has 12 home runs, so he's really clobbering that ball.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay to hit home runs, but I'd like to see him get a single now and again.
He's got that David Ortiz thing going on.
Yeah.
Where if he's not hitting a home run, he's not hitting getting on base. So I think the Red Sox fans will be happy to hear that, though. So based on that, he should be a Red Sox in the next couple of years.
Yeah, or a Giant.
Yeah.
there's some word around the league that the Twins and the San Francisco Giants want to make a trade or two.
Yeah, that'd be crazy to get him.
One of the things that bugs me about this team, even though they're so good, their earned run average is sixth in the league at 391, but they're 30th in stolen bases with only 20 stolen bases. There's 30 teams, Mike, and they're 30th. You can't just hit home runs without getting runners moved up and expect to win a World Series or a pennant. So that's something that they have to work on as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think you're right. The one thing I was going to say is you don't have to worry about home run or stolen bases when you're always getting knocked in with a home run here or there.
Yeah, when it gets a little colder, the ball won't fly out of the ballpark quite as well. No. So that's one of the things they got to worry about.
They've got some fast players on their team, too.
Yeah, Buxton. Rosario's not slow.
No, they could definitely get some more stolen base attempts out there. I'm looking, Buxton has 10. He leads the team by quite a bit. The next couple players are at three, and that's Polanco, Rosario, and then you go to Urias has one, so does Kepler, and Gonzalez, and Scope. They each have one, so he's not a lot of attempts, but Buxton is by and far leading the team.
Yeah, and just for a few more stats, one of the ones, the pitching staff, they're much maligned. The middle relievers are much maligned. And they've got, a 391 earned run average, which is sixth in the league. It would probably be third in the league if they had some relief help, a little bit more relief help, where they've got a lot of losses in the bullpen this year. If you go down, you looked at with Hilgenberger or Heidenberger they sent down.
Hilgenberger, yeah.
Yeah, he had two losses. They've got...
it's 1-1 on save opportunities, though. So.
Yeah.
we could Parker, use that.
Parker has two losses out of the bullpen. Then there's a couple other guys with just single. Those guys should never lose a game. They should leave it to the starter to lose the game.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Parker is 10 of 11 when it comes to saves. And then Rogers is 10 of 13. They're the only ones that actually are in double digits, even close to double digits when mm-hmm. it comes to saves. Everybody else has one.
I look at holds, and there's a few players that have had some good holds situations that they haven't held on to, and you know that's something. But the one thing that's a bright spot is that the starters are not going much over 100 innings pitched. I think that there's only one. I think that's Barrios has over 100 innings pitched.
Yeah, he's at 112.
Yeah, and then there's a few guys with 80 some, and you know that's good. Where Houston, one of the other teams in the league that in the American League that are given the Twins playoff competition maybe later this year, have three guys over 100 innings. So that's either they're getting deep into the game or they just don't care about their bullpen.
Yeah, you would hope that the Twins would do something before the trade deadline here to get some even a second or third starter. Would help. Maybe you can move your fourth or fifth starter back into the bullpen and get help that way, maybe. Otherwise, pick up
Madison
something.
Baumgartner.
Yeah, Baumgartner's out there. I know DeGrom's been thrown about, but I don't think the Mets are going to give up. They just got a new GM. So
I don't think they'll give up on him. And plus, they're probably going to fire their manager before the year is over.
Right. Yeah, I think that. GM will probably do that before he trades anybody away.
Yeah, Mickey Cohen. It's easier to fire the coach than it is to fire the players. That's what they always said to when I was young.
Now, what's going on with Cleveland? You're from Ohio.
Yes.
And you're an Indians fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm an Indians fan, but I'm leaning more towards the Twins, except when they play the Indians. That's the only time that I really stick with the Indians is when they play against the Twins. The rest of the time, I'm a Twins guy.
All right. So yeah, the Indians, looking at the standings, they're 9 games behind now. Baltimore is really giving them a run for their money this weekend in that series.
Mm-hmm.
They're a game and a half behind in the wild card, too.
Yeah, yeah. In the second wild card or the first wild card? This is second.
One. It's either the first. It has to be the second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they give two. They don't usually...
Yeah,
like the Rays. Yeah, the
Rays
first are wild card.
Rays are one wild card game ahead of the Indians.
Yeah, so it looks like it's the Rays, and then the Astros and Rangers are tied. I'm just looking at the wild card standings right now. So the Astros,
the wild card. If they're leading the division, then they are not in a wild card.
Yeah. So the Rangers are. Looks like they have a wild card spot. The Rays might be in first here, and then everybody else is fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Says the Rays are +1, so
okay.
Maybe so, they've got the second, and the Rangers have the first.
Yeah, that's what it is. Good, good call. You know, it's back in the old days where you had the West and the East, and you played the American League Championship Series right off the bat, no wild card. Those were the days.
Yeah, like when the Twins kicked Detroit's butt.
Yes,
because the Tigers used to be in the East, and we were in the West. I believe that's
yeah.
How it worked
that
out
was
back
in those days. Yeah, back in those days, that's the way it was. Yeah. You know, so what is your hopes of this team moving forward?
My hopes is they get deep into the playoffs. World Series would be great. If they hold on to this thing from start to finish and don't make the World Series, I will be a little down on that.
you never expected this at the beginning of the season.
No, but... Now that we're in the middle of it, though, that would be nice.
Yes,
it's been a while. But there's been a big drought since the last time we've even sniffed the World Series. So it's been a few years since we've been in the playoffs. But even
yeah, I think
then, 2000.
I think 2011 was last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, and even back then, you're kind of like, well, maybe we'll get to the World Series, but probably not. 'Cause we kept running into the Yankees, and everybody knows what happened that way.
Yeah, we all know what happens that time. So I've got one last thing, and then we can move on to our next topic.
Okay.
the Twins, 320 home runs, over or under?
320, they're going to hit under, but over 300.
Hey, I like the way I like
over 300.
I like how you think. I like how you think. So let's move on to the next subject, Mike. What do we have?
Let's go to Vikings.
Okay.
Skol Vikings, let's win this game. Skol Vikings, honor your name. Go get that first down and get a touchdown. Rock 'em, suck 'em, fight, fight, fight.
That's a sweet song.
It's one of the best, definitely one of the best out there when it comes to fan favorites. Everybody sings it.
Yeah, it's one of the best songs to hear after a touchdown.
Or even after a first down, that horn.
Yeah, the Gallo horn, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is.
I like that.
Yeah, and my Sunday football VJing, I do that after every first down, just like they do at the stadium, and the crowd gets into it.
They should, as they should.
So what do we have? We've got training camp opening up on the 26th. We stepped out to the TCO Stadium last year, Mike, and checked out one of the practices.
We did. It was pretty nice. It was a hot day out there, though. It was August.
Yes. Then this year, I'm actually going in July. A friend of mine got me tickets. We're going to go to the very first practice on the 26th of July. The 26th of July at 11 o'clock. So if you haven't had an opportunity to go to Vikings.com, and then you can try to get tickets and parking for one of those practices.
Yeah, they've changed it around a little bit too, right? This year compared to last year?
Yeah, a little bit. It was first year out there. This is the 59th year of training camp, and it's only the second year in Eagan, so things have changed a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just looking at their tickets and parking, so fans can reserve up to 4 general admission tickets per day.
Yes.
And a max of 2 days in a row. And reserve seats are available for $20 each. We saw those reserve seat section. It wasn't many people in that reserve seat section last time.
No, and it's in the sun too.
Yeah, directly in the sun.
Yeah, I think that might have been the people that were smart said, you know what, I'm gonna get a freebie instead of paying $20 to sit in the sun.
That's right. We'll have 16 team practices that'll be open to the public. And camp will be open from 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And there'll be 2 daily practices held. It says 2 daily practices held from 2 to 4. To me, that's only 1 practice.
Yeah, that's 1 practice.
So
that probably tells us we should move on. Because they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here's the schedule. Right
So great.
It's 11, 2 to 4. I'm just looking at some of the team practices here. Yeah, it looks like every team practice goes from 2 to 4.
And they've got the 11 to
11 to 5:30 is the hours that the TCO campus is open. So then they have the autograph sessions every day, and the museum's open, and the autograph sessions have changed too. If you're not a kid, you're not getting an autograph.
That's nice.
Yeah, so they're trying to keep the autograph seekers out of there.
Yeah, I saw you posted on Facebook yesterday about some autograph stuff.
Oh yeah, that was pretty sweet. So I got this baseball that was my grandpa's from my mom. She's going through some of the sports memorabilia. My grandpa was a huge baseball fan, and I got this baseball. My mom gave it to me. She said it was from the old timers game back in 1987. She thought it was all Twins players, and as we started diving deep into it, realized it wasn't all Twins players, and it actually was a old timers game series that went on during the 80s. It was August 8th, 1987 is when that was here. It was kind of a crapshoot on who was going to show up. But we got some Twins are on that baseball. I'm trying to track down a roster or something to see who is actually there so I know who did it. But Charlie Manuel is on there. Harmon Killebrew is on there. Tony O is on there.
Charlie Manuel, ex-Indian manager.
Yeah, and Phillies. He was
yes. That Phillies won the World Series with the Phillies, I believe.
And who else was on there? There was I think there's Billy Martin might be on there.
Oh, wow.
So I'm trying to track down. I've been looking up, Googling signatures and the way they look.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hall's on there.
Jimmy Hall, what position? What position Jimmy Hall play?
Hall was a center fielder. So okay. He played for several teams. He played for the Twins for 3 years. He was a all-star for two of those years. It was the only 2 years he was an all-star.
Hmm.
But at the beginning of his career, he was called up. He was behind when Killebrew was in the outfield.
Oh, wow.
That's how far back he was. So it was like 63, 64, and 65 is when he was here.
Oh, okay. So I was 1, 2, and 3 years old.
Yeah, so apparently he always – so Jimmy Hall signed every autograph as Jimmy Hall. On this baseball, it's Jim Hall. So I don't know how rare that is.
Hmm.
And I'm finding, you know, some of those players are no longer with us. So I'm like adding up the value of each individual signature. If it was on a ball,
mm-hmm,
individually, those are the names that I can read.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm up to over $500 individually. So I don't know how much this ball is worth.
Okay. That should be something interesting that you can play around with for a while.
Yeah. Trying to find a roster online is not easy for that day.
Maybe give a call to the Twins.
I should call them. I did mention them on Twitter, and I got crickets.
Hmm.
So, but
they are on the road.
Yeah, I do have a buddy that who is trying to track a lot of them down, and then another friend from high school chimed in yesterday, and he was able to identify a couple more. He actually identified the Brooks Robinson,
nice
signature.
Nice. So, is Brooks still around? Do you know?
I don't know. I Googled it quick last night, but I was lying down, and I don't remember if he's still around.
If he is, he's got to be in his 80s, and he's probably, you know, probably the best third baseman still alive. If you go back through time, he was an amazing defensive player. Right. I don't know. You're too young to remember him when he was in his prime, but I do remember that. And he just would backhand, split his legs, and throw across the field, jump in midair.
Huh.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I'll have to. There's got to be YouTube highlights of some of these players out there.
Yeah, so got to be.
Somebody's got to have enough time on their hands to do that.
He made some of the best plays in the playoffs, of course. Those were when the real Hall of Famers show up as in the playoffs.
Right.
So baseball seems to be the topic so far, but, you know, we are in baseball season. So,
right.
So it's a little easy to talk about it because you're living it live.
Yeah. Now there's another season that's going on right now.
Yeah. The Minnesota Lynx. Yeah. And they are playing the Dallas Wings today, which is the June 30th game. They're in Dallas. They're playing the Wings, and the Wings have one of the better players in the league, Skylar Diggins-Smith, I think is her last name now, with the name getting married and stuff like that. So she's not playing right now.
Is she hurt?
No, she had a baby.
Oh.
Just before the season started, so she doesn't know if she's going to be able to play this year. So the team is down that all-star. Plus, they made a trade where they traded their big player, their post player. They traded her to, I'm trying to think what team. I just saw him play a couple weeks ago. I think it was the Fever. She's with the Fever now. And, you know, so they've got the Lynx are a rebuilding team. They're doing okay. They're not doing great. They're doing okay. They're playing streaky. They've won like four in a row at the beginning of the season. They lost three in a row. Now
are they 5-5 right now, or 5-6-5? I'm looking up the standings right now, and it's
yeah. I think they're 5-5.
Here it comes. Here 6-5.
6-5. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm a season ticket holder, and I enjoy going to the Lynx games, and they're a lot of fun. The environment there is like no other for professional sports in this town. It's a lot different than the Timberwolves, and a lot different than the Twins. Everybody's cheerleading all the time. It's a lot of fun. They chant Whose house? Our house. Whose house? Our house. You hear that probably 100 times a day.
Now, they're fifth right now in the league. So there's only 12 teams in the league, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so how do they break down the...
best record.
Best record.
Best record, the best six records.
Best six, okay. So yes. Right now the Lynx are number five.
And if I remember correctly, the team that's fifth and sixth play a one-game kind of deal, if okay. I remember correctly. Don't quote me on this. So, but I believe Philip the top Gracious six.
Said.
Yeah, Philip Gracious said. Write it down.
Right. So
June 30th, 2019, and yep. I'm not sure. So let's move on.
Okay. No, I did. I wish I could remember whose tweet it was. It was a WNBA player who was talking about the inequality of
play. Yeah, that's the young lady who was traded.
Okay. Yeah, where she was mentioning that NBA referees are making more than WNBA players, and some 12th men on NBA rosters are making more than the entire team in the WNBA. Some teams. That's just crazy.
Well, here's something for you. Just breaking 23 minutes ago, Damon Lillard signed a four-year, $196 million contract with the Blazers. So he is a rich man by many means.
I think I'm related to him somehow.
Dame Lillard?
Now that he's signed that contract, I think I'm related to him.
You know what? You look more and more like him as we speak. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening over the next couple of days, and you know, if I see some things popping up while we're talking, I'll just let you know, because it's free agency just started.
Gracia bombs in there.
Yes. So the free agency just started a few minutes ago, and you know, the biggest thing about free agency is the draft. How teams did in the draft would depend on who they're going to go after in the free agency. One team that we know won't need a power forward, and that would be the New Orleans Pelicans. They've got Zion Williamson, who everyone swears that he's going to be the best thing since sliced bread. So good luck to him, and good luck to the New Orleans fans and organization. And, you know, he looked sharp in a white suit wearing it at the draft. I was the only one other player I remember wearing a white suit, and that was... the great LeBron James.
Some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, that's what they say. He's the best since. Yeah. So,
now I was in the same room as Zion.
Yeah, you were.
The Final Four. Big guy. Huge guy. But looked like one of the nicest guys ever.
He does seem like a nice guy.
Yeah. So he's, it was really cool to see him kind of, because he was named, I think it was the AP Player of the Year.
Yes. He won a few awards. I think he won the Naismith also.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but you know, there's a lot of stuff I'm not sure about. Maybe I should start doing my homework a little bit more.
That's right. We'll edit out everything that you say. I'm not sure. So it sounds like you know what you're talking about. So I'm looking at speaking of breaking, about 45 minutes ago, Jimmy Butler is expected to tell Miami officials he wishes to play for the Heat.
Oh, great.
So
keep him in the East.
Get him out of the West and over there. This is from the Bleacher Report.
Love the Bleacher Report.
Yeah. So, and also about 18 minutes ago, Minnesota is increasingly confident that they can make cap moves and land D'Lo.
Right.
Angela Russell.
You know, so the big deal with Russell signing with the Timberwolves, they can go ahead and try to sign him as a restricted free agent, but if Brooklyn signs Kyrie Irving, then they're going to renounce the rights to D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, okay.
And he would become an unrestricted free agent so the Timberwolves can go after him wholeheartedly.
All right, I'm just checking to see if... so if you're really into the NBA like I know you are, and I'm not, I'm kind of like on the fringe,
mm-hmm.
This has got to be like a the draft for me in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
where you're just waiting to see what comes down and it's, how fast will it come down. And it comes down. Absorbing it?
There's probably six players that are basically the pendulum of the whole free agency. That's KD. Then you've got Kawhi Leonard.
That's the big one, right? That's the one that everyone's watching?
Right, because KD is not going to be able to play.
Right.
So Kyrie Irving. There was Klay Thompson, but he's going to re-sign. Jimmy Butler. And then the last would probably be D'Angelo Russell. So those are the big six, I think. In my estimation, those are the big six. And everything else will fall into place after that. There's great players out there. You know, really great players. Valanciunas signed with Memphis again for 3 years. Mark Gasol decided he was going to take his option with Toronto, so he's gonna stay with them. And then Paul Millsap, one guy who's just a fringe player in my estimation, he's gonna make $30 million this year.
That's
coming
it?
Up. 30 million.
Jeez, that would be nice.
It would be. You know what? He could split that with us.
I think we both are related to him too.
$10 million apiece.
Yeah.
He would still do okay.
He would be all right.
Yeah.
I would just need that once. He can keep signing contracts after that, and I won't ask for anything more. But just this once, I think I need that $10 million.
I think I would ask again.
Okay. what do you see? Do you know anything about this Nicolo Melli that the Pelicans are trying to finalize a deal with? He's from the Euro League.
No, I haven't. I saw that today, and I didn't get a chance to do any research on him. I think he's mid-20s.
28.
Yeah, so he's up there top age wise for a rookie. So there's not been too many rookies 28 years old that have gone in and done many things in the NBA. So let's cross our fingers for them and hopefully he can do something.
Yeah. Now this is kind of I would guess that this would also kind of mirror like the trade deadline for the NHL. If you've never seen that. Watch the NHL Network if you have it on trade deadline day.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens, and then in the final 45 minutes, it explodes. Everything happens. So we're kind of getting into that area right now today with the NBA free agency happening.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question for you. What about the Kyrie Irving deal?
Yeah, he's going to sign with Brooklyn.
Okay, so yesterday I saw a meme or a picture online, and it was all the different places that have signed Kyrie, and that when he leaves, they're not in a better spot. What are your thoughts on Kyrie and what his legacy has been so far in the NBA?
Well, he's been with the Cavs, and he's been with the Celtics. Those are the only two teams he's been with in the NBA.
Yep.
He left a bad taste in his mouth when he left Cleveland because of the force of trade. And now he's a free agent, and he's leaving a bad taste in the Celtics' mouths. The only way he can win a championship by himself or teaming up with another superstar, whoever that may be, because there's talk that it may be Kevin Durant. And if he does win another championship like he did in Cleveland, then his legacy changes a little bit. But if he doesn't, he's just going to look like a malcontent. And nobody wants to be a malcontent.
No, what do you think he has to do to change that perception?
Win.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, got to win.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just was wondering because I don't follow the NBA enough to know exactly why it occurs that way.
When he was at Duke, he was hurt. When he was at Cleveland early in his career, he was hurt. And then he became a guy who was a superstar he played on the Olympic team and stuff like that. Superstar. But nobody really wanted to play with him. He just stayed over in his corner of the room, and everybody else kind of gathered together, you know, when he was with LeBron in Cleveland. Before LeBron came, he was just you know, an all-star who played on a very bad team. And LeBron takes them to five straight postseasons, and, you know, they're a different team altogether. So, you know, I don't think he's a guy who can lead a franchise completely by himself, but he's a good fit maybe for a Kevin Durant or LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard, you know, a number two guy.
Do you see him, his career kind of going the way of Marbury?
No. He's a better player than Marbury.
Okay. So he's not going to go over to China and take China by storm?
He's far from China. And I believe he's Australian.
Starberries?
I believe that he's got some, he could play, he had a chance to play on the Australian Olympic team, but he ended up staying with the United States. So that was something that I
gotta look that up now that you mention it.
So, yeah, there's something about that I kind of remember that.
Okay.
Australian basketball.
Irving, Australian. Let's see. He's Australian born. So there you go.
Yep.
So that's why he could.
Hey, I knew something. Wow.
There you go. You know, 1 out of 50 ain't bad.
Nope.
So, and this is not from Wikipedia, so.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Because you can put anything in Wikipedia.
Right, although Wikipedia does say that. He is from Australia. That the first headline that comes up is not Wikipedia.
Okay, good.
Does he talk with an accent? How long has he been here?
Oh, he's been here his whole life. I believe his parents went to Ohio State, if I remember right. Back in one of them was a track runner, I think.
Yeah, here it is right here. Born March 23rd, 1992 in Melbourne, Australia, to American parents. He has an older sister, younger sister. Just reading real quick. His dad played basketball at Boston University.
Okay, that's where it was.
Alongside Sean Teague and under coach Rick Pitino. And after completing his college career, Irving's father moved to Australia to play professionally. So that's where it is. That's how he was born there. So.
Okay.
So that's how he would qualify to play on the Australian team.
Mm. But he did play on our United States Olympic team. So,
yep.
You know, so that's he stayed with the right place.
Yeah.
Another championship. That's all he does is win.
Yeah. I don't really get where he, like national teams, how that becomes, because there are some players, not in basketball, but in soccer, like for the World Cup.
It's dual citizenship.
Yeah, it's
basically, just, you know,
if your parents are from there, maybe that qualifies you.
You do because my brother played over in Europe basketball.
Okay,
and since my grandfather had Portuguese passport, that had something to do with him being able to be dual citizenship.
Huh.
So he played as a national on a Portuguese team, even though we were from Cape Verde. Which was actually held by Portugal. So that it's a long story. Long story made short that he has dual citizenship.
It's family history with Philip Gracia.
Another thing I know.
It works out better when we start talking about things you know or don't have to look up.
Hey, so what do we have on the strange but true story?
Oh, all right. Well, let's see, out of Cincinnati. Should we just read this?
Sure.
This is from MSN.com. I didn't know that was still a thing, but it is apparently, saying, you know, coming from the guy with an MSN email address still. All right, out of Cincinnati, a woman who fell by a collapsed wet floor sign at Jack Casino was awarded $3 million this past week by a Hamilton County, Ohio jury. Did you pick this story because it's out of Ohio?
No, I just, anything that's got money that I possibly could get my hands on, I check it out.
All right, so let's keep reading. Linda Sadowski walked toward the sign, which lay flat on the floor in September 2016. Customers had knocked it over, and one employee of the casino walked around it but failed to pick it up moments before Sadowski tripped over it, according to her attorney, Matt Nakajima. Sadowski suffered a broken kneecap. Yikes.
Oh, that's hurt.
Yeah, and metal hardware was placed in her knee. Her mobility has since worsened, and she has arthritis at the fracture site,
ooh,
Nakajima said by email. A second surgery may be necessary. That's not good. I've got arthritis in my knees just from torn cartilage and meniscus. I can't imagine what it's like.
With a broken kneecap?
Broken kneecap.
Yeah, that sounds... Oh, and I've got video of it. So that's a...
Yeah, see, there's a couple of screenshots. You can see the sign.
Uh-huh, I see that, yeah. Yeah,
so we can see it, but look it up if you can. She's walking towards it.
Maybe we can put a link in the podcast when we get it up.
Yeah, there you go. So the casino had no safety policies in place for the floor inspection or fall prevention. So that's another...
strike against them, yeah.
They're liable. And had no criticism of the employee's failure to pick up the trip hazard, even though its own internal documents found her at fault. The casino's callous disregard for their customer safety was on full display throughout the trial. The casino, through its attorney, had earlier argued in court documents that the collapse sign remained visible, and Sadowski's failure to see the sign resulted merely from her failure to pay attention to her surroundings. That is the same wordage that my company that I work for uses at every employee injury. You must know your surroundings. So this is just like par for the course for corporate-owned businesses. I won't mention where I work, but people that know me know. Sadowski cannot recover from her injuries because she had superior or equal knowledge of the alleged hazard, the casino argued. Hamilton County Common Pleas jury disagreed, finding Jack Casino failed to use ordinary care for Sadowski's safety and failed to maintain a reasonably safe environment resulting in the injury. As a result of the casino's carelessness and negligence, Sadowski's complaint said she suffered permanent bodily injury, endured pain and suffering, and has incurred and will continue to incur medical expenses, which I agree. Maybe $3 million wasn't enough.
No, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like she should have got at least six.
Yeah, the complaint added that Sadowski's fall led to her losing the enjoyment of her good health, which I agree.
Did it say how old she was? I missed that.
It does not say how old.
Well, you know, that's...
And you can't really tell.
You can't.
I mean, not that we should try to guess how old she is anyway.
No, but you can't... You can't... When you get old anyway, like myself, you know, I'm 56, those aches and pains just... they hit you a little different. So if you got a extra bit of arthritis and stuff like that,
that's nuts.
Poor lady. She should get at least six, I think.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, yeah, because with the continued care, I mean, it just, hopefully the casino's paying for that part too.
Yeah, yeah. So you are listening to Mike Resendez and Philip Gracia, Philip G. We're doing a little podcast here. It's yet to be named. But when we do come up with a name, you'll be the first to find out.
Right. How are we going to post this? I don't even think we've figured out.
We're going to figure something out. By the end of the day, we'll have it figured out where we can post this, and we'll have a name for it and maybe some theme song music and all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Because you're good at that.
Yeah. It'd probably be through Anchor, I would guess. Huh?
Yeah. Okay. I think we could do that and then post it in a few different platforms.
Yeah, I think you're right. We should do that. So, but yeah, I think it's been a good little pilot episode, I think.
I think so. And it looks, my clock says it's about 39 minutes, and it doesn't seem like that at all.
No, not at all. And next time we do this, we'll make sure to get you, get some homework done by you.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we did kind of throw things together, but I should have been more prepared.
That's all right.
You know what? I should know my surroundings.
That's like Radio 101. Come prepared.
Well, we want to thank you for listening to this pilot episode.
If you're still there.
Yeah.
If you're still there, let us know.
So we had a real good time. And Mike, thanks for coming over.
Hey, no problem, Phil. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, folks.